We started a series in Genesis and took a break for Easter, and we're going back into Genesis, the book of beginnings. I said in the last message that this sermon we're going to deal with the doctrine of original sin, and I realized for time's sake I can't go into the depth of that doctrine. The doctrine originated from a bishop in the early Roman Catholic Church named Augustine of Hippo. Hippo was in North Africa. Augustine was trained in Greek philosophy and also followed Manichaeism. Mani was a man in the early 2nd century who claimed to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. He denied the virgin birth. He denied the incarnation. He also denied that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ had anything to do with salvation, but Jesus merely set a good example. Now, when Augustine became a Christian in about 385, 386 AD, he renounced all of his old training. He took a vow of celibacy and went into the priesthood. And it was around 418 when Augustine wrote his Confessions, and in it he talked about the struggle he had with his past sins and also the vow of celibacy that he took, the temptations that were still coming on him, and he was trying to answer the question is why this is worldwide. Why is there universal sin? Why do all people struggle with sin? Why do even Christians struggle with it? And that was the best he could come up with. And he stated because of the sin of Adam and Eve that man developed through their fall the nature of sin, which was passed on from parent to child through sexual reproduction. And if you understand Greek philosophy, and Mani also taught that the human body was evil. The spirit was good, but the body was evil. I think that had some influence on Augustine's theory, and I call it a theory. The Roman Catholic Church eventually accepted it and taught it as scriptural truth, even though Augustine himself admitted the scriptures did not articulate the teaching of original sin. In other words, Augustine was saying, you can't really get this out of the Bible, but here it is. And over the centuries, a lot of churches have accepted this doctrine, and if you question it, you are made to feel as though you're questioning the Bible itself, which is not the case. Because if you read from the doctrine of original sin and the subsequent following doctrines, what the theologians and the people that brought these doctrines about, what they were forced to do was make the Bible say what that doctrine said. So they started fishing. Oh, well, this scripture pretty much fits what we think. But the bottom line is, did Augustine get the doctrine of original sin out of Scripture? And he himself admitted no. Now, there's a reason I've brought this up. It has become a sacred cow in the church. As I said, if you question that, they say, well, you're just questioning the Bible. Let's look at what the Bible says. Number one, we read that when Adam and Eve sinned and they fell, they were separated from fellowship with God. He told them, if you eat that tree, you're going to die. He pronounced pain on the woman in childbirth. He pronounced a curse on the soil for the man. He said, now when you work the ground, it won't only produce crops, but thorns and thistles. So you're going to have to work harder. So the consequences of their choice were very real. And they understood that the sin they had committed brought consequences with it. But the doctrine of total depravity, which is subsequent to the doctrine of original sin, says that after that, Men and women are born totally depraved. They don't know anything but evil. They don't know God. So keep that in mind. Today, we're going to look simply at what the scriptures have to say in the story of Cain and Abel. We're going to be in Genesis 4, 1 through 7, and the title of this message is simply Sin and Consequences. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word this morning. I ask, Father, that you speak to us plainly from your word and teach us your truth and not the doctrines and dogma of men. I pray that you will take this message to each and every heart here, including mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one question that's asked, and if we don't have time to go into, you want to read the commentaries, they'll tell you why they think God accepted Abel's and not Cain's, and they differ and they argue, and time's sake, I'm not going to talk about what the commentators said. Why did God accept Abel's offering and refuse Cain? That's a question that is asked and still debated about to this day. I say that if we look at the scriptures, the writer of Hebrews explains it. He says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So according to the writer of the Hebrews, the revelation of the Holy Spirit, God refused Cain's offering because it was not made by faith. Abel's was made by faith. Now the commentators argue on the merit of Abel's sacrifice. Some point to the fact it was a blood offering. We talked about that in Sunday school. And they say there's no merit for that. The scriptures don't say that Abel offered a blood sacrifice because God commanded it. Well, I'll tell you this morning, they don't say that he didn't command it. So a scripture that doesn't prove either point proves neither one. You can't stand on that and say, well, Abel just by chance offered a better sacrifice. In fact, the sacrifice that Abel offered, if you bother reading the book of Leviticus, is the exact sacrifice God commanded the priest to offer for the sins of the people. The firstborn lambs with their fat. Cain brought some of the crops to God. And evidently there wasn't any faith involved in it. What's involved with faith? Love. It said he brought some of the crops, some of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the firstborn of the sheep and offered them and their fat as an offering unto God. And the scriptures say Abel did this by faith. Cain did not. So God accepted Abel's offering and he refused Cain's. And it seems to me to imply that Cain knew there was a right way and a wrong way. Cain became angry because God refused to accept his sacrifice. All of us at one time or another have felt the pain of rejection and the things that go with that. It was not Cain, so to speak, that God rejected, but it was his offering. And Cain became angry with God, so angry the scriptures say his face fell. Some translations say his countenance fell. Some translations say he was depressed. And it just showed his whole attitude changed. And if you notice, God questions Cain's right to be angry. He said, "Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen?" We can understand and see from the scripture Cain was mad at God. Cain offered this offering that he thought should be accepted, and God said, "I can't accept that." Now, God appealed to Cain. God told him, number one, you don't have any right to be angry. He appealed to Cain to do the right thing. He said, if you do right, you will be accepted. Which leads me to think that Cain had an understanding of what was right and what was wrong. God didn't write Cain off. God rebuked Cain because the offering wasn't done in faith. Therefore, it probably wasn't done in love. And in essence, if you want to look at it this way for us today in the church, Cain tried to worship God on Cain's terms. And God said, I can't accept that. How many churches today still try to worship God on their terms? We're not going to preach the blood. We're not going to preach the cross. We're not going to preach the need to be redeemed from sin. We're going to preach good works, good attitude, good vibes, whatever you want to call it. You know, just try to get to God on your own. All paths lead to God. What does God say about that today? That's not acceptable. Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice for sin. The only sacrifice God will accept. Coming to God must be through Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ. And then in faith and love, we obey Christ and we follow God. That's the gospel. And when we attempt to approach God any other way than through Jesus Christ, that is an insult unto Him. It's an insult to the Spirit. It's an insult to the Father. And the Bible says it's a trampling of the blood of Jesus under our feet and counting it as an unholy thing. Now, that is a willful choice. I want to point out this morning, God appealed to Cain as a man of conscience. He didn't say, Cain, I know you're totally depraved and you're a slave of sin, but I want to talk to you. What did he do? He warned Cain. First he appealed to him. He said, Cain, if you'll do what's right, I will accept you. Which, as I said, implies to me Cain knew right and wrong. When Adam and Eve fell, God didn't say when he ran them out of the garden, well, now man's totally evil. He said, now the man knows good and evil. Adam and Eve needed no nature of sin to choose to eat off that tree. They made a willful choice. And that's what sin is. All sin is a choice of our own will, and it's motivated by love. Well, how could murdering somebody be love? Love of self. God knew what Cain was thinking. He appealed to him to do what was right, and then he warned him of the consequences if Cain carried out his anger and his hatred, he was not only angry at God, he was angry at Abel, and he hated Abel. Because God accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. So Cain's anger turned into hatred, turned into bitterness, turned into resentment, and all that boiling up inside of Cain, God said, Cain, you do what's right, I'll accept you. You do what I know you're thinking about doing. And he said, sin is crouched at your door, and it desires you. The Hebrew there was interesting to me. The root word to desire, it means it longs for you. It reaches for you. It wants to own you. So God was saying to Cain, if you do this, sin will be your master. If you choose to do this, Cain, sin will be your master. Paul said to the church at Rome, to the Christians, do you not understand that whoever you choose to become the slaves of, that's whose slaves you are? Whether of sin unto righteousness, or sin unto death, or life unto righteousness. Righteousness unto eternal life. I'll get it in a minute. Cain had a choice. God didn't say, I know all you know is evil. Why would God appeal to him on that basis? God appealed to this conscience of this man. He knew right from wrong. And God said, Cain, don't choose the wrong. We all know what happened. Cain could have repented. When God said, if you do what's right, I will receive you. Cain could have said, I'm sorry, this was wrong. I should have done what you asked me to do. I repent. But Cain rejected what God said to him. Cain was probably one of the first ones we could say saying, I did it my way. When you think about the willfulness of the sin that he committed, I don't buy all that when the scholars say, well, they didn't have this stuff written down, so they weren't for sure. Men were not ignorant. Paul said men knew God. He's talking about all the way back in creation. Men knew God, but their foolish hearts became darkened. Why? Because when you choose sin, sin separates you from God. The Bible also warns us that sin is deceitful. It hardens our hearts to where we won't hear from God. I don't know if this is a theological term. I call it progressive depravity. The more you sin, the easier it gets to sin. The easier it gets to sin, the less ear you'll have for the Spirit of God speaking to you. That's hardness. And the Bible is full of warnings from Genesis to Revelation about that very thing. Don't let somebody tell you, Christian, that, well, you're born a defiled sinner, and you have no choice but to sin, and that's why we sin, is because we've inherited this nature of sin from Adam. That's not the doctrine of the Bible. That's the teaching of men. God holds each and every one of us responsible for the choices we make. Young people, your choices will carry consequences for the rest of your life. You can be forgiven, but there may be consequences follow you till the day you die. That is a cold, hard fact. You see, Cain was at a crossroads, and God dealt with him and said, Cain, I want you to do what's right, and then I will accept you. It wasn't a personality thing. It wasn't that God liked Abel better than Cain. Abel did the right thing, Cain didn't. And God appealed to Cain and said, do what's right. But if you don't, he said, Cain, here's what's coming. Sin will be your master. You will be its slave, and all the consequences that go with it. Well, we know what happened. Cain murdered Abel. God cursed Cain. He cut him off from his presence. He cut him off from the land. Cain was a farmer. And in the curse of the fall, God said the land will bear thorns and thistles and plants. So you had to work extra hard to get the food. Cain, he said, now the ground won't even bear plants for you. Won't bear crops. Cain's descendants are the ones who are credited in Jewish history with beginning the trades, the markets. Because they couldn't grow food, they traded and bought and sold. They're also credited with creating dishonest weights and measures. Cain said to God, my punishment is more than I can bear. Church, sin will take you farther than you want to go. I can testify to that. It starts out as little things, little sins. And the more you get into it, the deeper it goes, the harder it is. It hardens your heart, the harder it is to break away from it. Sin can take you where you do not want to go. You think you're controlling it, and then one day you realize it has complete control over you. Thank God through Jesus Christ that control can be broken, but only through Jesus Christ. Now, I said for time's sake, I wasn't going into all the doctrines, and I won't. You can read that for yourself. I want to look simply today at what did the scriptures teach. Cain tried to approach God in the wrong way. He tried to worship God on his terms, and God said that's not acceptable. Abel did what was right and he was accepted. Well, there's a choice line before every one of us today. Are you going to come to God through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? Or are you going to come to him on your terms? You come to him on your terms, I guarantee you God will say, I won't accept that. There's salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to God except through him. You can't do it by works. You can't do it by joining the church. You can't do it by baptism. If you try to do these things apart from faith in Jesus Christ, they'll be of no avail to you. And God will reject that form of worship. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. And again, I just ask that you would take that to our hearts. Deal with us individually, Lord. Help us to understand, as you said to Ezekiel the prophet, the soul that sins will die. You do not hold us responsible for the sins of our parents, but our own sins and our own choices. If anyone here today has never received called out to you as their Lord, I pray that this would be a day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.